Gente non cercava, se fa la processione, che cammina piano piano, non è morto nessuno, non ne osante nessuno, non si sente una voce e non suona la campana, e intanto corre a aspetta, sarà buona fontana.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, welcome to the French Connections. What is it? Tuesday edition. Today's date is May 1st. It's Tuesday, May 1st, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to be here with you here today. It's a holiday where I'm at, all over Europe. May Day, 1st of May, always is a holiday. It's Labor Day for the Europeans. It's for the Russians. It's a celebration of communism. Things over here have shut down completely. No mail delivery. Stores are closed, and everything's closed. And I was actually thumbing through some of the different documents and stuff here on the internet, and looking at the news. Of course, Eric and myself and others, Bolin and so many others, have been telling you right along is that the crime network at the top has not changed. It's the same. It is criminal Zionism that is running the world's criminal scams on everybody. And the latest one that I found from the Alex Jones group, I wanted to talk about today for a couple of minutes at least, was this JFK nonsense. Of course, if you take a listen to what was going on in the early 1960s and go back into your history books, Israel's founders and the people who were militant Zabotinskyists, if you will, were trying to get technology, and they were stealing technology from the United States at the time and other places, to build their own bomb. And the plant Demora went online around that time, that underground nuclear facility, preparing and building manufacturing uranium, I don't know what is it, 222 or some kind of number like that. Anyway, it's highly enriched uranium that can be converted into bombs. If you know what Mr. Vanunu has been doing, in fact, Mr. Vanunu has been placed under house arrest once again for speaking out. He was there a little bit after these events, but Kennedy got caught wind of what Israel wanted to do with a bomb, and he wasn't going to go along with that. And he also knew that the things that were going on in the Palestinian territories were against the UN Charter, and there were several things that he didn't like about what the Zionists were doing, and started saying that he was going to change the relationship America had with criminal Zionists, with Israel. And, you know, that sick state there in the, on the Mediterranean. And what happened was he did a couple of other things too. He actually started talking about the idea of reissuing American money. He reissued the money that had already been in circulation. Every so many years, the treasury notes that were authorized, I think it was $450 million worth of these treasury notes, were authorized to be put in circulation. And they were, that was money that was printed by the U.S. government, not by the Federal Reserve, outside their control. And he reauthorized that to be reused, recirculated, in silver certificates. If you go to some of your coin shops, you can still find these silver certificates. But there was hintings that he wanted to expand that program and begin to take some of the printing rights back for the American people. So there were several things that criminal Zionists didn't like about this guy. On top of that, his brother, Bobby, during the administration, began to strike out against organized crime. Now, when you talk about the organized criminals in America, the ones in Florida, the ones in Chicago, the ones in New York City, You always think of the Italian La Cosa Nostra. Well, and in fact, they are a very powerful criminal gang, as are the Dominican gangs and the Jamaican gangs, and I mean, there's gangs of people that act criminally around the world. But at the top of all these gangs, the gang of gangs, the godfather of godfathers, if you will, has always been the Jewish mafia, always. And how they have stayed untouchable in this mess after Meyer Lansky got himself ensconced in legitimate business dealings, along with the Brothman family and along with so many others across the Bugsy Siegel's another one. Ben Siegel got himself legitimized as a hotel builder and so many places. Seed money comes from these people and goes out to these other mafias, and these other mafias do the legwork. But all things flow up, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you want to know one of the most powerful criminal organizations in the world that's still very much in power, you look at the Canadian Brothman family through the Seagram's fortune. You know, as soon as Prohibition was implemented back in the early part of the last century, the 20s, Seagram's moved their factories to the north and began to ship alcohol across the border. And one of the reasons why Toronto did so well in that time, and so many border cities with the United States, Windsor and the rest, did so well, is that they were transfer points for this alcohol. And many of these people were doing business with Italian immigrant gangs. Now, why do they pick immigrant gangs to do their bidding for them? Well, because they're usually small minorities within cities. They're tight-knit. They have a single language. And they're able to be controlled. And early part of this last century, the Italians, as they arrived from places like Palermo, were indoctrinated into being leg men and delivery boys and hitmen and the rest of it for the Italians. But where were the Italians getting their booze? They were getting it from the Zionist Jewish criminal group. And ultimately, when you take a look at the crime boss of all bosses, it goes back to Brothman, it goes back to Meyer Lansky, it goes back to the money men of New York and Chicago, and it still does today. However, these people have legitimized themselves. And you take a look at what kind of money is in the hands of this Edgar Brothman right now. It's to the tune of $30 or $40 billion or more. And that's what he has as a personal fortune. What he controls probably is 10 times that. And each and every one of these people are beholden to the ultimate crime bosses back in Europe and European old money, and that goes back to Schiff, Warburg, Honig, and Rothschild. It's a system. Works quite well for them. And here's the benefit for the Zionists that are involved in this, the Jewish Zionists that are involved in this. They don't have to get their hands dirty. They can send the Dominicans to sell their drugs. They can send the Italians to do their murders. And when you get people like Alex Jones who claim to be truth-telling, that steer you away from this Israeli connection and this Zionist connection to criminality, what you've got, ladies and gentlemen, is a lying, deceiving, treasonous criminal. And this most recent thing with E. Howard Hunt, it might well be from Mo Howard and Curly, this deathbed confession tells you nothing. It is a farce. And, of course, if it weren't a farce, it would not be exposed on Coast to Coast Radio. It's a bunch of hooey that points you away from criminal Zionism. They are desperate to move people away from the idea that criminal Jews at the top were doing this. Now, of course, we need to put a caveat that not all Jews are involved. And so many people have written me that they're Jewish, from the Jewish community. They go, hey, dude, I live in a middle-class neighborhood. I work every day. I'm not part of this. And I write them back and say, hallelujah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out here who are victims of this enterprise that are both from the Jewish community and other. But I think more than other people, the Jews who are not part of this criminal network that do understand today realize the pressure that's placed on their community to become part of the crime gang or go along with the Israel support. And painful as it is for most people who are looking for people to blame, you can't turn around and blame all Jewish people because it would be first of all inaccurate, and second of all it would be it might be even murderous to do that, because if things go south in America and people are angry, you know, wild mobs can inflame things. Now, I and myself and Eric and Bolin and others have called for you to begin to find out who are the Zionist leaders of your city that you live in or your state that you live in. Now, that is possible. And when you get up in the higher and mid to high level, criminal level in state government or in federal government, you are looking at rabid supporters of criminal Zionism. People who are in their own right beginning to make billions. People like the Mark Riches of the world and the Abramoffs of the world who are stealing their way to becoming the next Edgar Brothman. And the Frank Lowys and you know, the Walpers and so many others. Now, why has this criminal gang fallen upon the Jews as the leaders? Well, again, small group, tight-knit, ostracized by others, easy to control, dedicated, rabid in their response to resistance to their decisions. So it was a perfect fit for them to be the community that ended up going down this road to criminality. And again, to assume that all people are you know, within that community are immoral is immoral in itself. So let's make sure that we don't do that, because you know, that is hateful. And while I believe in anybody's right to hate anybody, I don't hate anybody but criminals. I don't hate anybody but liars and thieves of liberty. And when you take a look at these people's ties to the criminal networks of the world, you find out that in Mexico, in the transfer of drugs from Central America and South America, are criminal Zionist Jews. If you take a look at who's in charge of the underwriting of all of the drug growing and the cocaine laboratories and the shipping of the drugs out of Central America, you'll find criminal Zionist Jews again. But who do they put in charge of their legwork? They put in people like Pablo Escobar. And they put others in charge. And then you also have an element of crypto-Jewish leadership. And you'll find, you know, some of the Jews that are living in Mexico who are at the top level of these crime networks actually keep their Jewish surnames. Many others are Muranos. And if you know anything about the Muranos and you know anything about the immigration to the Southwest by Murano Jews back a few hundred years ago, you'll know that many of these people are closet Jews, and they are outward in the daytime Christians, and they go home and practice Judaism in the evenings. And they are some of the most powerful families in the Southwest and in Mexico. And when you take a look at how they've infiltrated Paraguay and Uruguay and Peru and all of these sicko strongmen that were put into power back in the 50s and 60s, all had Zionists behind them. A guy named Kirchner over in, I think it's in Paraguay or Uruguay. He was a German Ashkenazi Jew who went down there and took his place as the El Presidente. So many other. Carlos Menem, another one. This kind of networking and this kind of assistance to one another and the interaction of multi-billionaires doing business and forcing legitimate businesses to fail and then sweeping up their customers and taking over in legitimate businesses gives these people an air of legitimacy in the real world. But how did they get there, and what do they do to stay there? They commit massive numbers of criminal acts, ladies and gentlemen, and you don't get to be a multi-billionaire without committing crimes, period. End of story. There is no way on this planet that you become a multi-billionaire without being a thief. End of story. And when you become a multi-billionaire with foundation ties and you're working at the level of Carnegie Mellon and the rest of this stuff going on where your fortunes are preserved and transferred from one hand to another, then we were talking about the real higher level in touch with Kissinger and Schultz and the rest. And these people are going directly back to Edward the Rothschild, and they're going right back to the city of London, to the bankers, to the boom-bust cycle criminal controllers, and even to the oligarchs who were permitted under Yeltsin to steal the wealth of Russia, to steal, to rob, to murder their way, to obfuscate, to do anything they could to become the oil barons, the Gazprom barons, the mining criminals, if you go across, it's all Jewish names, all Jewish controlled, and they're now out there trying to murder people into silence. They're doing whatever it takes to do. Yeah. So, these are stories that if you do some research, if you go and read the stories about the Russian takeover the giveaway by Yeltsin and who he gave it to, it's a who's who of Ashkenazi Jews. And if you take a look at the beginnings of the real explosion of criminality in America, you'll find it goes back to Jewish supremacy in New York, and then it spread its wings and went out into Jersey and then the West Coast into Hollywood and into Chicago and the Crown family of Chicago, and it went to Cleveland and the Miller family, and you can go across the nation and see how they farmed out controlling areas, and then these people became the money men behind the actual street activity. And they became the money men behind the politicians who they to this day control. And they are the people who set up the sting operations to catch some of these people in compromised positions, homosexuality, pedophilia, stealing on videotape or whatever, cheating on their wives, whatever they can start with and however far they can move people. And, of course, you don't go up in the ranks until you've been compromised, so you must assume that just about every politician in the United States now, today, with the kind of apparatchik they have in their control, have been compromised for something. And when you start looking at the Republican Party today in Washington, D.C., the kinds of sick peccadilloes that will start springing up when you do a little investigating, such as this congressman who was chasing underage pages around in the halls of the Congress, or what's been happening in the governorship of New Jersey, or I mean, you can go around the country and take a look where the governor was having a gay relationship with an Israeli and made an Israeli with no experience the head of Homeland Security of New Jersey. Not a fake story, guys. True story. These kinds of things are not rare, and of course, our detractors are attempting to silence us through innuendo and slander. They're trying to say, ah, that guy Smith is he's a this, he's a that, he says all this other stuff, you know, if you go into wake up from your slumber has been doing a running discussion on the attempts of these people to marginalize our information. And one idiot says, I put out 2% bad information and 98% good information, so that proves that I'm an agent. I dare say I put out 90%. I'm sure I get 10% wrong and I don't even know it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm not a library, and I'm not the arbiter of all fact. I do know when I see crooks and liars working together and then in unison promoting nonsense or deceptive events or lies or pushing people in the wrong direction, I make a call saying they're either useful idiots or they're working for them. I do that easily, readily. And when you can see people's true colors by the way they support the other crooks that are around. You just look at it, it smells bad, it looks bad, feels bad. and they'll never talk about this stuff. And see, here's the other thing. So many people say, yeah, but this Jewish question, this Zionist Jewish question, is only a small element within it. That is not true. It's the other way around. The Zionist Jewish element is the controlling interest in this mess, and they've employed others around them from other communities. You know, they're not Zionists at the street level of the Dominican mob, but the Dominican mob ends up owing its loyalty to the drugs it gets that are permitted through the drug barons who are Zionists in Colombia and in Bolivia and in other parts. That's right. So bear in mind when you're looking through this stuff that they will employ any group, whether it be a Princeton graduate, if you listen to Kay Griggs, or try to go up and entice Yale graduates out of school to become parts of this network. In fact, if I had my way, I would eliminate Yale from the university structure and turn it into a community college and fire all the professors up there and then take over the facilities and turn it into a low-level community college, because based upon the criminals and the bad guys they've produced out of that school, they have no right to educate anybody. I wouldn't let them give training to my dog, let alone future leaders of the country. I mean, come on, Clinton, Bush, and how many others? And that leads me to another story I wanted to bring up. And we don't usually talk about very much about this on the radio because I wanted to keep most of our research pure. But, you know, the idea that that NASA has been on the up and up since the early 1960s, when you take a look behind this scam, it is every bit as criminal and every bit as obfuscated and lied about as all these other things we discuss on the French Connection. And the evidence is there as well, clearly. And I urge the listeners to start looking into why these people would find the need to tell us lies about where they went with their research and where it took them. Because the evidence says that much, if not all, of the things they were claiming, they never really did. And there is a trail of dead bodies around NASA that would shock you when you start looking into how many people have been mysteriously killed. Not unlike some of the researchers who were doing bio research for a while, who ended up, suicided with three bullets and the rest of it. So, you know, but here again, we got this liar, Rentz, trying to take the lead on something that Eric has been discussing for a couple years, and of course Eric has only collected information together. He has not been one of the progenitors of some of this information, but rather the disseminator of it. And it should be looked into, because I think it turned out for them to be a black hole for American taxpayer money to be siphoned, and it went over to the corporations they control, which is something that you must understand. Many of these people who made their criminal fortunes, like Brofman and the rest, took that ill-gotten gain and invested it quite liberally in legitimate businesses. And now what you're finding is that the corporatized world is being bought up by these same forces that had their start hundreds of years ago as criminals in America. And then if you go back all the way to Europe, Rothschild padded his big fortune with deception and lies that cost the British taxpayer billions. This group has scammed almost identically over the years. I mean, they don't even have to change the way they do it. They just change the location and go and fleece another society. They fleeced the Germans. They fleeced the British. The French have been fleeced by them, and now the Americans. I dare say they're setting themselves up in China and wait for China to grow a big nest egg of money and watch them fleece that place. It just goes on and on and on. And I see very little religious stuff behind this from them. I see them using religion in the world as a divisive tool, as a way of keeping us all apart from one another. And I urge you to try to see this through the eyes of the power brokers if you want to understand how religion could be used in these instances. And you take a listen to people like Jones saying, the Luciferian people, you know, I'm like, oh, man. Do I think there are people out there knuckleheaded enough to pray to a Lucifer? Sure, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. But I'm telling you right now that that's not what these leaders do. They're praying to the almighty power structure and the almighty dollar and what it can buy them. Because what are they always lusting after is money, money, and more money. Power, power, and more power. Control, control, control. And it's almost like a chess game for these people when they get to the level of the crooks that we're discussing here. And, you know, they're untouchable at this point because they're living in these ivory towers, but education and information about their history and how they've gone about this stuff can turn this around. And it's not going to happen in any time that you and I can see. But truth and facts need time to gestate. And, just take a look at how much traction these facts have received just in the last few years. It's an amazing testament to how hard many people around the world have worked at trying to out these crooks. And it's working. Just slowly. And the interesting thing is about the liars who are out there, the Alex Joneses of the world and the Jack Bloods and the Barretts and the Abramsons and all of these Zionists and henchmen. It's much harder for them to spin the lies out than it is for us to tell the truth. And that's why they've got millions and millions of dollars in their different budgets. And they get access to coast radio and to ABC TV on The View and the rest of it. And we just get a little old website along with some other people doing similar things spotted around the world. And we are making a real serious challenge to their truth. Because our truth is the real one. Because it's borne out in research. That's why. And it makes sense. See, their story doesn't make any sense. That's why it's so easy, because if you have any common sense and just sit down for a minute and listen to both sides of these issues and to the names of the people who are at the top of it in the history and in the present day even, what you find out is that their story doesn't hold water and the one we're telling absolutely does. So, how do we go about convincing more of the planet? Well, first of all, people have to be willing to be convinced. I mean, it's been my experience that most people don't even want to know the truth. They just would prefer to, hide out from anything like this. Is it fear? I don't know. I think they've been taught not to be interested. But the election cycle over here in France would belie that fact in that 85% of the French electorate, the people who were possibly could vote, 85% of them came out to vote. 85%. Now, that shows interest. But does it show that they have the right information? Well, no. Especially when you know that the airwaves, the news waves over here are controlled by the same groups as they are in the United States. And so, they're getting the bad spin. They're getting the lying spin over here, and they're going to pick the wrong candidate. They're going to pick a Zionist. It's unbelievable. And I'm watching it happen, and I haven't taken an active role because, first of all, we don't have a big following here in France, and because I don't do these broadcasts in French. I was thinking maybe I could do a couple of these in French, but I don't know if that would be of any benefit, to be honest with you. There are people fighting over here, though. There are people who do know the truth. There are people attempting to share that truth. It's as difficult for them to get traction as it is for us. However, truth has a way of going global, and it has a way of breaking through language barriers. And it is doing that. We're making our way into over 140 40 different countries in the world. I think that's almost every one. If you go down the list that we have on our statistics board, granted, we get less than 0.5% or less than 0.25% or 0.8% in some instances on most of the little places that listen to us, but we're all heard in Aruba, we're heard in, we've got them in Jamaica, and we got them in Martinique. We got people from ISPs around the world and countries around the planet listening to the French Connection. Yeah. And there are some places we're not permitted. I don't get any numbers out of China. I think we're stopped there. And certainly we're not being heard in any of the public libraries in Britain. If you British thought that you still had freedom of expression, I would say no. You know, they're blocking certain websites, and we're one of them. Why? Because we're telling the truth. But see, our critics have done a good job of saying that I'm anti-Jewish, which is I've gone over this a million times. It's just a big lie. I'm not. I'm anti-criminal. You know that. Everyone should know that by now. And even on MySpace, I've got some very solid Jewish support. I've got Muslim support. I've got the Black community support. I've got white community support. I've got a coalition of people from many of the groups that normally would not be sitting at the table together. They would be at each other's throats. The white supremacists fighting with the blacks, with the Italians, with the Latinos, with the, you know, this is what they try to foment on this planet, ladies and gentlemen. They want to keep us separated so we can be managed. That's right. Where are we going with the economy? Let's touch on that for a second. 136.70 to the dollar, to the euro. That's $1.36.70. It's almost 137. So it's $1.37 to buy 1 euro. 5 years ago, it was 80 cents to buy 1 euro. About a 35 to 40% shift in just a few years against the euro. And going higher, that exchange rate is getting worse. Finances are deteriorating at a rather abrupt rate if you take a look at the longer term. I mean, we're talking a matter of weeks since this stuff started really going south again. And weeks is very quick in the grander scheme of things, ladies and gentlemen. It's a blink of an eye. And we're watching the American economy just tank. People are looking for the exits right now. And there is a benchmark point of 80 on the basket of currencies. And if the dollar falls below that 80, where today it's at it's 81.20. So 1.2 different. If it goes down to below 80 and closes, look out, because the bottom is unknowable. It's never gone that low before. That means the sound as a dollar will mean nothing. It's sound as a dollar. The sound as a dollar is death. Who knows? Anyway, I thought today would be a day to just revamp and relook at some of the things that all of us have looked at in one way or another, or one time or another, and maybe some of you folks could carry some of the weight of this research. I mean, start looking into these things that we just brought up. Who is Brofman? Why was NASA being budgeted in the $2.7 trillion, and then take a look at what they actually did over there, and take a look at what the people say about their trip. I mean, they were using, ladies and gentlemen, right on the film, they're using a Hasselblad camera on a celestial surface that is at -120 degrees Celsius, and with no protection on the camera, and getting color film out of it. And science has told us clearly that that is absolutely 100% hands down impossible. 100% impossible. First of all the seals on that camera would have melted in the heat. In the shade, it turns around and goes in the opposite direction to below zero, and then way up to 150, 160 degrees Celsius. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the temperature alone would have turned that camera into a pile of junk and never would have worked. But on top of that, the radiation being pounded onto that surface of the moon from the sun would have exposed the films exposure, just like putting your camera through an X-ray machine. And there would have been no color film from the moon. None. Impossible to do. That's right. I mean, I'm sure we can take, today we could maybe take some electronic films of a foreign body. That's probably possible. But film? Nope. Can't be done. And people at Hasselblad Camera Works have stated that. Interesting, isn't it? Just one of many anomalies that they refuse. Oh, how about this one? How about this one? How about the spacesuit is too big for anybody to sit inside the module to go to the moon? In other words, if they were actually wearing the spacesuit that they claimed to have worn that day, they could not have gotten out of the lander or into it or sat in it. They were, the equipment, it was too big. There was no room for them to be in there. And why is it that, you know, people who knew the facts about this have mysteriously ended up murdered? A half dozen of them or more. The most recent was a guy named Vernon Walters, who was a general, I think, a general during the early 60s, mid-60s, under Nixon. So was Rumsfeld involved in that, and so was Kissinger involved in this. This is a big scam. Stanley Kubrick, take a look at it. It's not a mistake, ladies and gentlemen, that his 2001 Space Odyssey film, the equipment is almost identical to the stuff that NASA incorporated into their fraudulent charade, as it were. Anyway, all that stuff. Now, there's trillions that got stolen from that project. There was black budgets that were going everywhere. There was all kinds of stuff happening because of that. And then on top of that, the lie that went out all over the world, giving America false prestige and bragging rights, and then coming home and telling the Americans, see, we're the leader of the world, we're the smartest, we're the freest, we're the best. That's why we can go to Africa and beat up on people. That's why we can start wars. That's why, because we're righteous. We're right. We went to the moon. We went to this. You know, you see, when you build a country up on lies and then you hit them at the patriotic button, you end up justifying all kinds of sickness and all kinds of criminality that the leadership wants to go out and perpetrate. And, you know, interestingly enough, all of the decision-making on this comes out of old Europe. You know, it's just amazing. Anyway, do your research. Find something that doesn't jive with what I've told you. Send it off to me. I'll read it. Unless it's just, you know, unabashed nonsense, I'll just delete that in a second. But if it's serious and you've got some information I need, send it to my inbox and I'll take a look at it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's a short rant. It's just to get you back on speed here. It's been a week since I did one, and I thought it would be interesting to touch on these things on this May 1st. I hope all of you are well, and I hope all of you will be well until our next conversation. This is Darryl Piper Smith telling you, be well, bye-bye.